You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Producer Kōri Fuimaono follows up on his story about Salient FM shutting down, this week interviewing co-editors Kirsty Frame and Rachel Trow. As more drama unravelled, serious questions must now be asked of their owner and principal funder. Here's Kōri.
In November of last year, Salient's 12-year-old operation was unexpectedly closed, to the surprise of people. 2 weeks ago, I reported on this. Here's a catch-up. The student executive at VUSA had murmured discussions about changing Salient's FM operation. Gia Robregado also told us the interview process in hiring Salient editors for 2020, with candidates seemingly okay with podcasts taking over FM. VUSA CEO Matt Tucker wrote a reply to Salient, saying the association was spending more money on Salient this year, and that new studio equipment for Salient was lined up. By discussing this with former FM co-manager Nav Nair, we understood Salient FM's minimal funding for previous years. There's also a looming question over Salient's editorial independence, although President Rob Brigado told us,
"You said this not interfere with everything to do with Salient."
It still remains unclear who exactly was responsible for FM's demise. Now, since then, myself at 95 BFM News and my colleague Justin Wong of Cracker Magazine have teamed up to tackle the story together, as it seems that Salient FM's demise is just a scratch on the surface of what seems to be more issues at the student publication with their parent organisation, VUSA. We start this instalment with a statement from both Kirsty Frame and Rachel Trow, the co-editors of Salient Magazine for 2020. We received this a few hours after my first piece went out on air, and what it reveals only complicates the situation. Be sure to listen carefully.
Salient FM being shut down was not a condition of our contract, nor was it something we had any control over. At least that's what we thought. The decision to close FM was made before our interview for this role. Any statement that the CEO has made that insinuates that this was a collaborative decision between him and us is entirely false. The decision was made before our contracts began, and we were explicitly told by the VUSA CEO, Matt Tucker, that it was dead. He had cut it and there was nothing we could do. Matt's questions that he posed to us in the interview were along the lines of, FM is dead, what are your alternatives? It was very just off the cuff, as if, you know, this is a done deal, this is in the past, no big deal. Since securing this job, all FM equipment has been removed from the Salient office, and we have yet to receive access to our budget from Matt Tucker. Hence, we've not been able to offer any broadcast and very limited podcast material produced solely on our own personal equipment. We are working profusely to make sure that Salient remains editorially independent from VUSA, including the VUSA CEO. This is an ongoing situation that we are working tirelessly to solve without compromising the quality of our media that our readers expect.
This statement has huge implications. It's clear the decision to remove FM was out of the hands of anyone at Salient. This puts Gio Robregado's insight that he provided to us about the interview stage and hiring co-editors into doubt. Now, no one from the 2019 or 2020 Salient crews had been consulted about the change that, by the looks of it, was taken by VUSA, with a further affirmation that CEO Matt Tucker had made the decision himself. Regardless of Tucker's involvement, VUSA's decision puts Salient's editorial independence into complete jeopardy. In my interview with Kirsty and Rachel, I played them Gia Robregado's interpretation of VUSA's hiring interview with them. In this, I asked if Gio missed out any details or glazed over anything.
Look, like, we can't obviously go back to November and get a direct quote of what was said in that interview because, you know, we don't have memory like that. But one thing that we explicitly remember from that process was Rachel and I both thinking about podcasting as a solution. So I don't recall it being already suggested that podcasting was the alternative format. I do remember, but that's the only thing I would say from Gio's statement was that from our recollection, podcasting was something that Rachel and I brought up ourselves as a alternative.
Right.
Yeah. He basically, like, the only thing I would say about what Gio said in terms of how the question was posed was he said it as if there was an option for us to go between FM or something else. It was that FM was no more, and then we were expected to propose a solution. And we were keen for podcasts.
Yeah, and we're still so happy with podcasting. Like, it just sucks that it's come at the expense of FM.
Right. What's clear is that you both just categorically deny that this FM closure was contractually based. No one had a say in this, but you do explicitly say that Matt made the decision and he posed it to you. What went through your minds when you were in this interview process when you heard that?
Well, the way he said it so casually made us thought that it was something that had already been settled. And because we weren't a part of Salient last year, we weren't, you know, part of the office or part of the writing or creative community, we weren't aware of the political side of that statement.
Just to add to that as well, like, Rachel and I, going into this position, we had previous experience writing for Salient magazine. And admittedly, yeah, little experience as a, you know, as a listener to Salient FM. Nonetheless, we were well prepared to go about our hiring process to, you know, hire an FM manager. The way it was dismissed, just we just sort of presumed and went there thereafter that, you know, there were no red flags with it.
Now that time has progressed since November, and you guys talk about the political context that's applied to this, can you talk to that point? Like, what to you are the red flags and the politics that's around this?
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. It's the VUSA constitution that we finally managed to get our hands on the updated version of. And in that VUSA constitution is the Salient Charter. And the first article of that says that the editors determine the form and content of Salient.
The constitution within Part X, Section 2, Article 1, says they have this right, quote, with complete freedom from political interference, unquote.
So Matt cutting FM goes directly against that. Getting our hands into the constitution was what made us realise how political the situation was.
I asked Matt Tucker, how does the action of VUSA and yourself to intervene and close Salient's FM operation down not demonstrate interference in how Salient is run? I also asked, what do you say to the likelihood that this is VUSA potentially and possibly unintentionally violating its own constitution? He initially replied with, quote, VUSA are happy with the new avenue for student voice at Vic and welcome a system that will see them being heard and recorded, unquote. Completely avoiding both questions, I asked again, and he said, quote, I have not avoided your question. The station has not been shut down. It is now more relevant and equipped than ever, and I look forward to listening to it, unquote. To be fair, Matt Tucker has always held this view ever since the first Critic article. However, with how the whole ordeal has shaped and been reported on, it seems that no one else holds that point of view at all. My colleague Justin Wong of Cracker Magazine asked Matt Tucker, who had VUSA consulted, to make the decision to change Salient FM to Salient Casts. Tucker replied, quote, Salient chose not to undertake its own review in 2019. It is unclear why they chose not to, unquote. Because Salient is funded by VUSA through the Student Services Levy, they're required to complete a self-review at the end of every year as part of their funding agreement with Victoria University. As reported by Critic magazine, the lack of a self-review by Salient prompted VUSA's decision to remove 2,000 kilograms of items from the Salient office, a decision made without sufficient information. Given the new responses from Matt Tucker, I find myself re-listening to Gio's interview and picked up on this statement here when I asked him a question on Salient's editorial independence.
So this entire entire story, Matt did not intervene with Salient until it was already necessary for him to do so. Because last year, as part of the Student Services Levy Agreement with Vic University, every service that is funded by the Student Service Levy has to do a review. Salient was one of them. There was not a proper review that took place. And like I said, after the last print took place last year, the entire premises was abandoned. Salient last year was already requesting for a lot of operational stuff like new equipment, new computer systems, and things like that. And VUSA CEO, Matt handles all those operational stuff. Last year, when he was about to deliver all those requests, nobody was there to receive it. Nobody remained during the summer months. That's all I know from the timeline that I've come to understand.
Tucker wrote to me that the lack of a self-review isn't the reason why FM met the fate that it has, but hadn't included the reason why FM folded. In fact, he says that as far as VUSA understands, they don't believe this is a shutdown at all. 2 weeks ago, Matt Tucker stated the equipment used for FM was of poor quality and not for purpose, which brings into question what the 2,000 kilograms of disposed salient property includes. Then there's Gio Robregato's previous statement. He said the Salient 2019 crew made requests, with Nat not being able to deliver the equipment to them, since no one stayed around during the summer months. This could be inaccurate. Listen to what happened when the Salient crew for 2020 came in for their first day.
Tucker has said to both myself and Justin that VUSA is investing in your student voice, including broadcast mics, two computers, mixer, headphones, software, the list goes on. Have any of these items been delivered to you guys?
No. So our podcast manager was asked to put a request in and outline all the equipment that would be needed to run a podcasting environment for the year and onwards. But if this lockdown hadn't happened, I wouldn't be able to update you on how far away that is, because we just don't know.
The equipment was only ordered, I think, like a week and a day before the lockdown was announced. So even though we had, you know, submitted that request to Matt to purchase all of this equipment, there was still like another week or two process of him working through that and deciding whether or not we could have those things. But this all could have been a whole lot faster if we had just known in the first place that all of the old equipment had been thrown out and that they expected us to order all of this new equipment.
With no FM equipment, podcast editor Matt Casey has been using his own personal equipment, with volunteers having to use their own laptops to edit each week's episode together. As you previously heard, Matt Tucker said, quote, "I look forward to listening to it," unquote. It seemingly being Salient Casts. Only recently has he stated that no one told him that the podcasts were being produced in this fashion, adding that it was sad to hear it from a third party. Me. It also seems that VUSA are holding Salient's budget very closely, with Rachel and Kirsty adamant that
we don't have any way to spend any money.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're running this whole Salient operation on nothing?
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're joking.
So we know Matt secured our printing contract. So he secured which printer we were going with. And there was even discussions that we had when our designer came in. We were under the impression that we would be choosing which printer to go with. And we were swiftly told by Matt that no, he's locked it in, that's done and dusted, it's paid for. So yeah, like in terms of the production of the magazine and of anything that's Salient related, we do not have tangible access to any money. Our staff are all getting paid and we're grateful that we don't have to have any complications with that. But if we want to buy pens or a whiteboard or even shout the team pizza, we have to physically either go up to the office and talk to the VUSA accounts manager and get, I got access to the credit card once, which I had to give back the next day, or we put in a request and they get it for us.
I had a look at VUSA's budget for 2020. Specifically set aside for Salient. Less than $228,000 was allocated to Salient last year. However, this year, $136,700. Over 50% less compared to 2019. Matt Tucker was quick to point out that the budget no longer reflects the cost of printing, phone, internet, photocopier, IT, and software licensing. Matt Tucker also says that he's asked Rachel and Kirsty to propose a system to access their budget and stated that they haven't gotten back to him. In a written reply, Rachel confirmed that discussions happened but were in a long email chain with replies from Matt generally taking 2 to 3 weeks. The last email the co-editors received regarding this particular matter ended with Tucker saying that he would rather see Rachel and Kirsty contact their union representative than engage with the two of them directly. Finally, remember this? If it comes to the point where Salient Cast isn't generating the numbers, will that be folded at the decision of the Student Association as well?
I can't say for certain at this point.
But there lies that possibility that it could?
It's more of we'll just probably cross the bridge when you get there.
Right.
I really can't see for now.
Matt Tucker responded to Gio Robregato's comments. When asked what he made of it and if they were in line with VUSA policy, he wrote three words: VUSA supports Gio. When asked if he could categorically deny that he was the one who pulled the plug on Salient FM, VUSA supports Gio. What's there to take away from the story? VUSA's involvement in removing Salient FM may be a breach of its own constitution. That alone is huge. This event may also be remembered in the history of New Zealand student media. This story is about how Salient will continue its legacy, 81 years of complete and total editorial independence, free of interference from its owner and principal funder, VUSA.
I only have one more question. Mm-hmm. What does resolution after this entire ordeal look like?
Right. I think internally from our perspectives as editors that had to come into this job and figure out a whole lot with a whole little amount of support from our CEO, that's something that we are going to make sure is never a problem again, so that other editors, you know, cannot have things sort of swept under their nose as much as we believe we've had things swept under our nose. A resolution is to have Salient FM back up with podcasting as a, you know, going alongside it. I can't predict when that resolution will or can happen, but it's something that we're definitely going to be moving forwards to.
A resolution looks like VUSA and the VUSA CEO in particular honouring Article 1 of the Salient Charter.
For The Wire, Kokori Foimono, Toku Ingoa.
Brilliant, brilliant report there from Corey. Thank you so much for putting all that together. Wonderfully produced, I have to say. So smooth. And also should shout out to Justin Wong there, who was helping with the investigation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.